It's not much, but it's very vital. Let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Flow, okay, all right. I got to go ahead now, I'm gonna flow. All right. John 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I'm come that they may have life and that they might have it how? Abundantly. Let's take that same verse and put it up in the Amplified translation, please. If you need a Bible, by the way, raise your hand. I'm sorry, I didn't cover that. All right, here's what he says. A thief cometh only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Overflow. I think one of our speakers during the missions conference or the IFC conference preached a message. His name was Reverend Samuel Rodriguez. And he showed you three categories. He showed you one that was Egypt, which represented what? Failure. He showed you another one, which was the wilderness, which represented what?
Survival.
How much?
Survival.
Okay, all right. And then he showed you one more, which was Canaan.
Thriving.
So what God did not call us to is the wilderness. He called us and promised us Canaan. He promised us that we would thrive, not just survive. So what I did is I started thinking about this word abundance and what it says about it in the Bible. And I started looking back, and I started looking at the book of Joel, J-O-E-L, and that's chapter 2, and verse 25 and verses 25 and 26. And he says, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palm worm, my great army, which I sent among you. And you shall eat plenty. Say plenty.
Plenty.
No, say it with distinction. Plenty.
Plenty.
And be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be what?
Ashamed.
Now, this restoration that he's talking about, I look at it as if, as God restoring us back to where Adam was before the fall. So wherever Adam was before the fall, that's where we're getting back restored to. And we're going to take up or pick up where Adam left off before the fall. All right? So before the fall, Adam was in the Garden of Eden. And that place, the Garden of Eden, was a place of abundance. I mean, they had so much. I mean, he couldn't move 3 feet without bumping into a bunch of grapes. The Bible says the gold was there. So basically, Eden was a type of heaven on earth. And that is the environment that God wants you to live in.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right, so I was looking at this. So now I'm thinking abundance. And I'm saying, all right, now, this idea of abundance, let's go over to Luke chapter 6. And in Luke chapter 6, again, we're going to get a picture of this idea of abundance. Now, I'm not talking about just enough. I'm talking about more than enough. And in Luke chapter 6, and verse 38. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Let's put it up there in the Amplified translation. Let's see what it says. Give, and gifts will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will they pour into the pouch formed by the bosom of your robe and used as a bag. Let's put it up there in the Message translation, if you will. The Message translation. Give away your life and you'll find life given back. But not merely given back, given, pardon me, not merely given back, given back with bonus and blessing. Given, not getting, is the way generosity begets generosity. Now, I want you to see this because I'm still talking about abundance here. And I think the reason why Reverend Rodriguez preached that message is because he wanted us to be able to distinguish between perhaps where you are and where you should be. That God never called you to survive. You know, he never called you to fail. He called you to thrive. So I said, with that, how can we get God's people? Because the Bible says you're going to prosper as your what prospers? As your soul prospers. So if you don't think abundance, then how is abundance going to be given to you? Because the Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, come on, so is he. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14. Now, I'm just going through some scriptures because I want to really touch on something. I'm not going to rush through this. I want you to get this. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Now, then he goes on down in verse 17. Let's go down there. He says, arise and walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it to you. Now, in that, he is saying that your feet will never take you where your mind has not been. So I've got to make sure that I'm thinking abundance if I want to experience abundance from God. Because God cannot bless or make things happen for you beyond your capacity to believe. Are you with me? He said, if thou can believe. Let's look at that verse. It's found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Let's do Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse. Shandarabahaya. Praise God. Chapter 23. Okay. Jesus said unto him, if thou can what? Believe. Keep going. All things are possible to him that believe. Now, that means that if I believe it, it's possible for me. Suppose you don't believe it, then it's not possible, even though it may be the will of God. So I'm just saying that he wants you to believe like he believes. One place he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways. Now, I'm going to just give you this because sometimes people get a little hard on Bill Winston because he believes in prosperity. Now listen, it doesn't bother me. I just don't want it to affect you. You know, some folk are subject to other folk. And it says, let's look at a couple of places now because we want to understand that if we don't expect abundance, we can't get abundance. It is not automatic, folks. It works by faith. And faith comes how? By hearing. You got to believe and hear and act on the word of God. So let's just look at a couple of places. Now, let's look in the Old Testament. Let's just look at some places, all right? Now, I tell you what, y'all got time for this? Because this is very powerful. So don't rush me. Don't get a rush spirit on you. Don't try to rush me out of this. I want to stay in this for just a minute here. All right, look at 1 Chronicles chapter 22. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22, this is David Now turning over the reins to his son, Solomon. And he's now been out fighting battles and winning them and taking the spoil. So now he's accumulated spoil for the building of the house of God. And look what he says in verse 14. He says, now behold, in my trouble, in that those wars that I've won, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000 talents of silver and a massive iron, so forth and so on. Now, why did he get this? For the building of the temple. Now, how much did he accumulate? He said, 100,000 talents of gold. Now, if you look at the concordance, I have a concordance at home. I looked at it. A talent is roughly worth $1,000,000. Now, that was back some time ago. So it's probably more now. It could be $2 million, $3 million. But let's say $1,000,000. Now, 100,000 million. Now, how much is that? Now, if your pen can't write that, it's because it's not in your head. 100,000. Now, how much is that? 100 billion. For the building of that temple. Now, I have seen some pretty big buildings that Trump has built. None of them. I'm not sure what the cost of them could be. Let's say one of them is $1 billion. Okay? Let's say $1 billion, billion and a half, whatever. But he's going to build one big temple with $100 billion. That's just the gold. Now, you've got to hear this. You see, because in God's mind, there is no shortage. And if the enemy can separate your thinking from God, then he could have you to be used to block God's plan. See, he could now. He could. Because you won't, he said, your thoughts are not what? My thoughts. Now, this is David now. He's building because right away you say, okay, wait a minute. Now, how much do you want me to put in this thing? Well, it looks like, you know, God is not concerned about how much. Now, I'm talking about thriving. I'm talking about more than enough. I'm talking about stop thinking you're going to run out. Stop thinking shortage. Stop thinking down there. You've got to stop thinking a little bit. You've got to let the demons go and let God's mind take over. I'm not done yet. Praise God. Look how much accumulation Joseph made. Let's look at Genesis. And Genesis in chapter 41. Now this, when Joseph was accumulating or amassing provision, this is how much he amassed. Now he's thinking like God. This is how much he amassed. In verse 49, and Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left what? He left numbering. He couldn't number it anymore. Look, now this is God. Because look at Hebrews. And Hebrews and chapter 12. Glory to God. And Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. And look at that. This is how many angels God has. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. How many angels is that? Come on, help me now. Now, wait a minute. Why does God need that many? I mean, one angel wiped out 185,000 men in the Old Testament. Why does he need that many? Let's keep going. Look at John chapter 2, please. The I've come that you may have life and have it how? More abundantly. Until the full, until it overflows. This is why Jesus came. Look what he says in John. What did I say? John chapter 2. And look at John chapter 2, because they needed some wine. They had run out of wine. And Jesus said in verse 6. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three fritkins apiece. Now, fritkins is the two or three fritkins is 20 or 30 gallons. Gallon. Now, I don't know about a wine bottle. A wine bottle is usually a quart. And there are four quarts in a gallon. So this is two or three fritkins apiece, 20 or 30 gallons. So let's say 30 gallons, and each gallon contains four quarts. So four times 30 is 120. So that's 120 quarts out of each container. And there were six containers. So six times, what did I just have? 120. It's 720. So I had 720 quarts of wine. 720 quarts. Now, they had been drinking. So you're not going to be able to drink, but so much. So they had been drinking. But now Jesus is about to fill them to the full, till it overflows. Because that's God's nature. It's not an exception with God. This is God's nature to have too much. This is his nature. His nature is not survival. His nature is not just enough. I don't care what you think. George Washington Carver had over 300 inventions and from, I think, the peanut alone. 300. Why didn't God give him two and go somewhere else? Gave him 300. He'll keep giving you inventions to the full until you overflow. And verse 7. And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, draw out now and bear to the governor of the feast that they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast tasted the water that it was made wine and knew not what it was, but the servants of that drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. He said unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then they bring out that which is worse. But thou hast kept the what? Good wine until now. That says good wine. But let's look at the Living Bible. Look at the Living Bible. And look at that particular verse. Okay? And the host always serves the best wine. And he said, then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the least, less expensive wine. But you have kept the what?
Yes.
The best. You kept the best till now. Now, a man came here and preached named Tudor Bismarck, Bishop. And he said he looked it up and saw some of the best wine, and the best wine was something like $300,000 a bottle. Aged. Y'all know. Well aged. Now, I'm not rushing through this. Because I think I can shift your thinking with this one teaching. See, all I have to do is shift your thinking, and then everything around you will change. Because the only thing that's blocking it, see, it's not your achieving, but your believing. And so everything, if somebody wins the lottery, somebody just won the lottery for $300 something million, and this lady won it. Okay, nobody said, oh, you shouldn't have that, all that money, and so forth. No, they were rejoicing. They said, man, I wish I could win that. Well, the thing of it is, you've already won that. You are connected with your father. You are as rich as your father is. I remember when David, we were younger and we were coming from, one time we were coming from Minnesota and we were driving back and David was with us, my son at that time, and he was, you know, smaller, much smaller. And we had stopped to get something to eat and got some sandwiches. So we ate the sandwiches and I had some juice or something and he ate all his and then he grabbed my juice and started drinking. I said, wait, put the juice back in the thing right there. I said, at least ask me for a sip. Well, he doesn't go to school and say, Daddy got a new car. He doesn't say that. What does he say? We got a new car. Because the juice is mine too. What, the juice is mine? Everything's mine. Everything that the Father has is yours. The problem is you can't receive. You don't achieve with God. You receive with God. And you got to open up. If it's not happening, it's because something is wrong with your thinking. Because every place, he said, as far as you can see, I'm going to give it to you. You don't see with your eyes, you see through them. You see with your mind. And if you can't see abundance, he can't give you abundance. He will violate his word if he did that. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to? So he checked it out. How much this wine cost? So you got $300,000 a bottle times 720. Give me the number, somebody. How much? 200 and how? 216? 216 million. Now, I have a sneaking suspicion he knew they couldn't drink all of it. But he did want to provide a gift for the new family. Because at that time, when you get married, the man is supposed to leave work for how long?
1 year.
He's going to take them through it, not surviving, but thriving. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying if you come back to these scriptures and look at these scriptures and then put yourself in there because you've got a better covenant than they had in the Old Testament, I'm here to tell you, you ought to be really breaking the bank. Our problem is our thinking. The devil knows it, and he knows as long as you run after money and you never change your mind, you can get more money, but it will flee just as fast as you get it because you can't hold it. Can we keep going?
Yes.
All right, let's do another one. Let's do, my Lord. Huh? Let's do, it's a lot of them here. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4. And let's look at what he told this woman. 2 Kings chapter 4. And then we'll go to one more and we're going to have to quit. I've come that you might have what?
Life.
And it might have it how?
More.
To the what? Full. Till it over what? Don't ever forget that. That is the will of God for your life. The will of God for your life is not for you to go from paycheck to paycheck.
Thank you.
That is somebody else's will. And you should never subject yourself to somebody else's will again. All right? Where did I tell you to go? 2 Kings, okay, let's look at verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wisest sons of the prophets to Elisha, saying, my servant, thy husband, is dead. And you know my servant did fear the Lord, thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor has come to take unto my two sons to be bondmen. And Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what is in your house? And she said, thy handmaid is not anything in the house save a what? Pot of oil. Watch this. And he said, go and borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Don't borrow a few. When thou art come in, shut the door upon you and your sons, and you shall pour out those vessels, to all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which was what? Full. Okay? And so she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, and who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were what? Full. That she said unto her sons, what? Bring me yet a vessel. And he said to her, what? There's not a vessel more. And what happened to the oil? It stopped. Question. Suppose she had had more vessels. I said, what? It would have kept flowing. Would God have stopped? No. Many vessels that you can round up. As many things that you can create to hold the abundance of God, he will provide. Glory to God. All right, now, let's go to another one. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Expect abundance. Say that with me. Put yourself in there. I expect abundance. Every day. Don't be waiting on a paycheck now. That may not be abundance. See, I'm not living by my paycheck. I'm living by God's covenant. All right? Verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Question. Was he led to Simon's ship?
Yes.
How do you know? Because everything he did because he saw the Father do it. The Father led him to Peter. Why do you think he picked Peter? Peter had some other people that worked for him. Now, there's some other ships. Why do you think he picked Peter and didn't pick somebody else? I'm just asking this. There's nothing in here to prove that. So it's no wrong answer, you know. Why do you think he picked Peter? For the same reason he picked me. Because he knew I'd do it. You'd be surprised how many people listening to me. That God knows that if he tells you to do something, because he's about to open up something big for you, people won't do it. And they won't do it because, one, they're afraid of what people might say. They're afraid, well, I might lose something. They don't have nothing anyway. They're afraid of so forth, all kinds of stuff. He picked me because he knew I had crazy faith. He knew that if he told me with $200, to come to this city with no place to stay, then I'd go. That's why he picked me. Now, I'm not saying you're just as precious in his sight as I am, because he's no respecter of persons. But I'm telling you right now, you're going to have to be willing to do some uncommon things to get this abundance to work in your life. You look at this place, and every place they did it, they had to do something uncommon. This woman didn't have but one little vial of oil, and he told her to get some big barrels. And they didn't have but they went out and got some water in vessels, and he told them to dip it out and take it to the governor to preach. By the time they got it there, everything had changed. Every time it took some uncommon step. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to reason it out. That's not scripture. It's what it says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. It says this, glory to God. He says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, what am I saying with that? Here's what I'm saying. When God says, do something, don't think about it.
Glory to God, man. I'm telling you, man, that's the best I can say with that. Don't think about it.
Because once you think about it, your mind will try to reason you out of everything that he just said do. Say amen to that. Now, you're looking at me right now panicking because you think God is going to tell you to do something. Get rid of that fear. We're going to talk about it tonight. Get rid of that. I'm telling you, whatever he says to you, just do it. Now, you find that after you do it, you will understand it better by and by. Praise God. You'll find that understanding will come after you finish the project. You say, wow, look what God did. But he wants you to receive his command by faith. If he says it, you just do it and watch the manifestation of it. Can I get an amen on that? All right. Y'all got kind of quiet on that one, but that's okay. We love you anyway. I was told about a man the other night. Man's got an airplane, Gulfstream, and he paid $40 million for it. Watch this. And put $60 million worth of interior in it. You know why? Because he doesn't see any limit. He sees no lack. He sees no lack. And let me tell you, there is an enormous supply. And here's what Brother Copeland says. He said, you must see an endless supply. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. So, I'm saying to you that tonight, God is restoring to you the years that the cankerworm, the caterpillar, all those have taken away, and he is right now, as I speak, expanding your thinking. No, I'm talking about right now, as I speak. Whoever's listening to me, as I speak, your thinking is being expanded. Now, don't think you got to work for this. It's already been worked for. Jesus worked for it. But he's just making it so you can hold what he's got. Why? Because this is your year. So between now and Christmas, you will astound yourself in what God is going to be doing in you and through you. I said, get ready. I said, get ready. Say, I have abundant life. I think enormous supply. I think like God. I talk like God. I believe like God. And I receive what God has for me. From this day, there will be no shortage in my life. It will only be overflow. From tonight, I'm going to enjoy the blessing of Abraham, the overflow of God that's already been set aside for me. He is my Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Thank you, Lord. I receive restoration of my right mind. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Now, you will find that if you have people working, and let's say you have a business and they're working in your business, you will find that if they're not thinking like you're thinking, but thinking shortage, that even though you're out to increase. Their unrenewed shortage thinking mind could try to sabotage what you're doing. Yeah, sabotage. People call you and want you. And at that particular time, because there's something big that's supposed to come in for you, something happens. Either the phone gets disconnected, they get mad and hang up, or forgot to give you the message. And this is somebody that's got a whole bullion of gold, you know, cashed away and wants to give it to you. But my point to you is if you're in business or somebody is standing between you and your opportunity, make sure that their minds have been either renewed or they're under authority. Because if they're under authority, all they say is, yes, sir. But if they're not, then make sure their minds are renewed, because when God tries to get something to you, I'm telling you, because of the unrenewed soul, they can sabotage, can block what you're trying to get. Now, God eventually get it to you, but what'll happen is they delay the process. See, so sometimes when you are going up higher, you're going to have to get folks who operating at that level. That's all I got to say. All right, let's prepare our giving for tonight, and also our missions fund. Now we're still receiving for our India trip, praise God. We're looking real good for that. So just as God speaks to your heart about sowing into that, just do the sermon right now. No, I'm just kidding. But don't draw back, because Daddy got you covered. Daddy's got you covered. See, don't start that. You're not going after things, believe me. But I'm saying this, that Brother Copeland preached it. He said that Paul said, I was not disobedient to what? The heavenly vision. Powerful teaching. See, you can't fulfill the heavenly vision without heavenly provision. Heavenly provision is not pennies in the offering plate. It takes more than that to do what God is calling us to do, folks. It just so happens he knows that, and so he's provided something for it. But if the enemy can keep our minds small, then he can keep our pocketbook small. And it's not that somebody's trying to get your money. What God is trying to do is get the job done. Say amen. Give God one more praise. Thank you.